League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So you can even hear the voiceover later. You say the apostrophe S, Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN. Blank, Branham, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 6030, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking about this earlier today. It's the things you think about when you're in a losing streak. Do we even, assuming that the Astros don't get back into the race, because it's pretty torn. Brian, he's the pessimist of the show. We are the optimists of the show. Actually, you're the optimist. Brian's the pessimist, and I'm the realist of the show. I'm the realist, the trillist.
Everyone's the hero of their own story, huh, Jeremy?
So, but if they're out of this, if they're out of this race on July 15th, a month and a half from now, they're out of this race. I am a big believer in an aggressive sell everybody, trade everybody. If you're out of the race on July 15th, Alex Bregman needs to get traded. Maybe Justin Verlander, maybe Ryan Presley, maybe Framber Valdez, who has a year left on the deal after this year. Maybe even Kyle Tucker, if somebody's just going to blow you away with a huge trade offer. I am an aggressive rebuilder whenever I am out of the race. And because I do think that the Astros have a good foundation going forward. I mean, Altuve is not going anywhere. Now, he is getting older. Yiner Diaz, I know I was bashing him earlier, but I do think that Yiner Diaz is part of the future for the Astros, just don't know what position yet. Jeremy Pena is part of the future. I'm a big fan of Luis Garcia. If Hunter Brown's consistent, if Spencer Arrigetti's consistent, like, you have a foundation that's better than a lot of teams in baseball, even without the names that we mentioned, Tucker, Framber, Verlander, Bregman. So I'm an aggressive rebuilder. But do I think that Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, Enos Cabell, Craig Biggio, Dana Brown, do I think that they will be aggressive rebuilders? I don't. I find those guys to be, we're going to hang on for dear life. We're going to be the Carlos Lee, Miguel Tejada, Pudge Rodriguez, Tim Purpura Astros who are unwilling to be aggressive sellers at the deadline. That's the first question I have. I don't think that Crane and crew would be willing sellers at the deadline, which see, frightens me, actually.
That's why when you bring up those names, the one that's tough for me is to throw Dana in the mix, because I think Dana would. I think that Dana would, if he was given autonomy to make the decisions. If he was empowered to make the decisions, and it was basically him and he just had to sign off with Crane, I think that Dana would understand the situation. He would evaluate talent. Like you said, if he got offers for his bigger names to really, really restock the farm system with quality prospects and good young players, I definitely think he would. But he's powerless. He is almost as much of a puppet as Joe Espada. So therefore, the guys that are going to be making those key decisions are not those type of guys. They are not the realists that realize how baseball works and how quickly in a situation like this you can set yourself up for another run. You don't know when it's going to be, but you unload a lot of the contracts, a lot of the big-name players and the older players to kind of put you in position, whether you use those players you acquire to resurrect the next run, or if you are looking to those guys to be assets to be traded to get the next run of players that are going to make you great.
You nailed it. I don't think they would sign off on it. I don't think the authority figures, Crane, his friends, his stooges, I don't think they would sign off on the rebuild, which I don't like. I don't like. Like, if you're going to be way out of the race, and maybe it's a meet in the middle. Like, I'm an aggressive rebuilder. Like, I'm talking Tucker. I'm talking Framber. I'm talking Verlander. I'm talking Presley. Those guys have another year on their deal. Maybe instead of the year and a half guys, maybe it's just the final year of their contract guys. Maybe it's only Alex Bregman that you're talking about trading. Am I missing a pitcher who's in the final year of his deal? Probably not. I think that's it.
Because Javier's done.
Yeah, so maybe it's only Bregman. Maybe it's only Bregman.
Verlander's got the vest that he's going to be there.
But I don't think that they would ever sign off on a rebuild. I think if they're 8-9 games out of the race on July 15th, they're going to be like, oh, no, we can get back in this. So that I don't like that. Again, it goes back to the whole front office dynamic. Do we think it's a shrewd front office? Do we think it's a dumb front office? So that's something that I get concerned about, because if they're 7, 8, 9 games out of the race on July 15th, they need to be selling, and I don't think that they're going to do that. So that's the first question.
But the other thing too, Jeremy, on that point is the fact that what have they shown us to be? Big name chasers, you know, veteran chasers. They're not in this to try and unload big names to get young players. Dana Brown would be, but those guys themselves, no, they're always in go for it mode. The window's always open. And in Jim Crane's mind, when the window's open, we ride the horses we got. We go get more horses in the stable. And oh, by the way, if guys' contracts are going to expire, we're going to look like we tried to resign them. We're going to let them walk, and then we're going to go get more.
Yeah, Alex says GM Bagwell says no trades. That's where I'm agreeing with that. Like, I think it's going to be an old school, oh, no, we're never out of it. We're going to get back in the race. We're not going to sell our final year players when they absolutely should. And maybe even further than that, because if I'm 9 games out of the race, I'm trading Tucker. I'm trading Fromber. I'm trading Presley. I'm trading Verlander. And some of those guys have no trade clauses, but I am kicking the tires. I am turning over every stone to try to have this aggressive rebuild to kind of fulfill what is around the foundation. Because, I mean, Jordan, Pena, Yiner, we know we mentioned some of the names. I think that the Astros do have a good foundation, but if you don't trade Fromber, Tucker, Bregman, you miss the playoffs this year, you miss the playoffs next year, now you have a foundation that is fruitless with anything around them.
Yeah, I can't say, the way that they've done their business, I don't think I think Tucker's out of the realm of possibility.
I think everybody's out of the realm of possibility for what it's worth.
I think Fromber should be still being considered as a guy that they could shop and move, because I think that even Bagwell understands that no matter how much talent he's got, that what's going on between his ears is not something that they like.
But he's really stinking good, yeah. And I think that even if the Astros throw in the towel this year, they think they can be right back
they
in next year,
do.
And Fromber's under contract. Yep. So I think that the most they would actually consider is Alex Bregman, and only if they're 9, 10 games out of the race, and I still find that hard to believe. Second question, do we have any faith? Let's say they do the unthinkable. They're 8, 9, 10 games out, and they actually say, you know what, we're going to rebuild. We're actually going to rebuild this thing. We're going to sell off our pieces. Do we trust them to do that right?
No way.
Do we trust them to have, like, this appropriate, successful rebuild? And I don't think that it has to be a Jeff Luhnow losing 100 games over a 3-year span. Nothing like that, because, again, I think you have a good foundation. Maybe it's more of a retool, reload than a full rebuild, but even a retool, reload, I don't have faith in this front office to do it the right way.
Again, I go back to what I said. If this was Dana Brown with the power to do it his way, I believe Dana Brown can evaluate talent enough to realize, like you were talking about, if you get some big-time deals thrown at you on the table that involve some of your bigger-name players, but you know that between prospects and young players that you're getting back, these guys have a ton of talent to be future big pieces for your puzzle, then you go let him do that, and then you go explore what's out there, and then if there's deals he can't refuse, you go get them, because you know he makes good baseball decisions. What we're being shown on a daily basis is he is powerless, he has been neutered, he is not getting the ability to do anything the way he wants to do it, and he is the guy that was chosen for the job because Crane figured he and his guys could walk over him, and they're going to do it their way. And in their way, I don't trust them as far as I could throw any one of them, and I don't care how big Baggy's calves is. He's a big dude. I couldn't throw him to start with.
Yeah, I like him in a fight.
Oh, I'm not trying to fight him. I'm just saying I don't trust him as far as I throw him to be the guys that could rebuild this franchise into another winning situation in a couple years.
With you. 3209, I can't believe the fact that I missed Dusty and Click. I can believe it. I wish they got along, because I think Dusty and Click would have had tons of more success together. I mean, they already won a World Series together. I wish they would have gotten along. 3283, I still see them as a playoff team. That being said, I don't see them making the playoffs this year. Okay, that's the midway point. And I'm not arguing with you here, 3283, because I think that the Astros, worst-case scenario / best-case scenario, if they're out of the race, I think they'll also have that same approach, where this year was an anomaly, we were snake-bit by injuries, nothing went right, we think that we can be right back as a World Series contender in 2025. I think that's what the Astros front office would think if they are out of the race on July 15th. So if that is where their mind's at, that is the attitude, that is the philosophy, then Alex Bregman should be on a different team on August 1st. With 100% certainty, he should not be a Houston Astro on August 1st if you're throwing in the towel on the 2024 season, but expecting to be a playoff team in 2025. and I still don't trust them to get that right. I trust you and I trust Blank and Branham more than I trust Bagwell and Biggio to do a rebuild right for the Houston Astros. What do you think? Hey, 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, he's not a B, though, so I disqualified him. 713-780-3776. Which killer bees, Blank and Branham, or Bagwell Biggio would do the rebuild right? Brian, putting you on the spot. Which killer bee duo, Blank and Branham, or Bagwell and Biggio, would do the rebuild in the proper way that it should be done?
I mean, I'm taking you two there guys. You would have Jose Abreu on the team still.
Nope.
He'd be gone.
You'd be trading Alex Bregman if they're out of it. I don't have any faith that Bagwell and Biggio will make those moves.
Yeah, I don't either. They're going to be holding on for dear life. They're going to be 9 games out of it and be like, oh, yeah, Alex Bregman's just going to turn the corner. We're not going to trade him off. Jose Abreu is going to turn the corner.
A team that's this willing to hold on to whatever remaining career Jose Abreu has is not going to give up with a team that was 2 years removed from a World Series run. They're still going to believe deep into August that they could turn this thing around.
I agree, and I think it's foolish. Now, hopefully they do get it turned around and they're fine. T-Mad, do y'all look at the backside of players or baseball cards? I prefer the former. 9440.
On the back of his baseball card.
Why does it have to be a fire sale and a complete rebuild so soon after success? I mean, you could do the half measure and just do the retool. It doesn't have to be the full rebuild. The reason I'm doing the full rebuild is because I don't think that you're re-signing Kyle Tucker. I don't think you're re-signing Framber Valdez. I don't think you're signing Alex Bregman. So I'm going to make sure that I trade all of those guys. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Who do you trust more to do the rebuild right? Which killer bee duo, Blank Branham or Bagwell Biggio? Also, we still haven't gotten to this spot of post-game stuff. It really annoyed me, some of the stuff he said yesterday. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Seeing people on the Twitter fighting over bad-hitting first baseman. It's like, okay, you get Dubon could be in the mix. Victor Caratini, Yiner Diaz, whoever's not catching can be in the mix. Joey Loprafito stopped playing center field in the minors. He could be in the mix. Like, there's more options other than those two guys.
Like Cabbage?
I forgot about Cabbage. I forget about Cabbage. You see what he did yesterday?
No.
He had a double-dong game with 8 RBIs. Ooh, they won like 20-3.
And they weren't in Albuquerque?
I don't know where they were. They were on the road. Maybe it could have been. I don't know.
Because, I mean, you know, the ball travels there. But other than that, still 8 RBIs and 2 dingers is a big day.
The ball travels everywhere, like in the PCL. It really does.
Yep.
A bunch of the Twitchers are saying that give me the Killer Bees, Blank and Branham, to be the GM. XX Wrong, you guys for the GM, Fire Bagwell and Dana, 2024 Major League Baseball Executive of the Years. Everybody wants us to be the general manager of the Houston Astros over the Bagwell Biggio Killer Bees. 1509, y'all would do a better job than those other Killer Bees, Baggy and Biggy. I don't want to read that one.
I don't really feel like Biggio cares as much as Baggy.
He's definitely more low-key.
Yeah.
Bags and Biggio would never do a rebuild because it's not their money, plus their egos won't allow it. And then this jabroni, Bad Take Boulevard, you guys thinking you know more than career baseball people, LOL. I don't know more about baseball, but I know more about building a roster than Bagwell does. What makes Bagwell so, like, he has such the resume to build a baseball roster? What has told you that Bagwell's good at it?
There's really not. I mean, we had a comparison yesterday between Jack Easterby and Jeff Bagwell, which tells you at least Baggy was a player and Easterby wasn't. But from the standpoint of just what you've done, how different it is as general manager, when it's not just about talent evaluation, it's about salary cap, it's about analytics, it's about all these things that he had no experience in. It's a different ballgame. It literally is.
Yeah. I have confidence that I wouldn't. I might have signed a break. You know what I would do, though? My first move as the general manager of the Astros, I'd hire Jeff Luhnow to be my assistant general manager, and I wouldn't do a single thing. I would let him do it all. Or James Click.
Uh-oh.
What is that?
Breaking news.
A little breaking news.
That's
sounder.
Not a good breaking
I'm
news sounder.
I'm going to speculate here. I'm going to speculate here. Again,
we need
speculation.
A better breaking news sounder than that.
You want to try a few more out? We can try a few more out on
Did
the
Did Abreu
here.
Just get hurt?
Yeah, that's what I was going to break in with. Jose Abreu singled, and when I... Clear as day, he was limping pretty hard getting to first
base.
So
I saw our video. We're on.
We're behind.
I'm not going to say the company. We're behind like 30 seconds. And I saw him round first base, and it was a pretty good grimace. Did
that
he leave
was a
the game?
Very – yeah, it looked like I pulled a hamstring grimace to me.
Well, there you go.
Speculation.
Another out.
Speculation.
Another temporary
He
fix.
Stayed in the game.
I know. That's what I can't figure out, because he very obviously pulled up like he had
left leg, yeah.
Yeah, like a hamstring issue is what it looked like. But, yeah, he's still in the game. We'll see. We'll see if he soldiers through it. But
there's two injured lists that you can place an injured guy on. The 15-day IL. Actually, it's a 10-day IL for batters, 15-day for pitchers. Or the 60-day IL.
There it is.
60-day IL, Jose Abreu. When those 60 days are up, he gets a 20-day rehab assignment in West Palm. That's 80
there
days.
There it is.
It's almost 3 months. So that puts us May 30, June 30, July. He'd still be back before the end of the year. He'd be back in
September.
But we
wouldn't know where the Astros are by then.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look comfortable rounding first, but he stayed in the game.
He came up a little bit gimpy early out of the box. Then he finished the run, and when he rounded it, then he really came up. He went putting no pressure on that left leg.
To be fair, though, Jose Abreu never looked comfortable.
Man, the way he ran,
I don't know. He always looks like he has a grimace on his face.
The way he was running when he got to first base, yeah, looked like he was feeling.
Yeah, once he got past the bag, rounding it, he looked like he came up lame.
I'm surprised he stayed in the game, because I saw the same thing that you guys did. I'm surprised he's still in the game. Maybe they'll pull him for defense, because a lot of times players will get hurt and then they'll stay on the bases to try to like gut through it, and then they won't come out to play defense. So let's keep our eyes to see if he comes out and plays defense.
Brian will have to tell us, because we're behind.
1642. I trust the two of you to make the decisions on what to do, but we'll need to find someone else to decide who to trade for. I don't trust your knowledge of minor league players, and we already know Bagwell can't pick good players. No, I mean, I'm outsourcing all of this.
Department.
I'm outsourcing all of this. Like, James Click is back. Jeff Luhnow, do you want to be on this in this front office? You're back. That'd be my first order of business. Yeah, because your texture's right. I don't know minor league baseball players.
But
I know if
we get a scouting department, we get hires within the department. I mean, you can look around. I mean, from all the different people that have talked about being GMs or otherwise, what you don't know, you go out and find people that do, and that's how you can have continuity within your department.
Uncle Barney says, I don't know. You all love to embrace the suck. Astros win the 2032 World Series. Hey, that doesn't sound so bad.
No,
that's a parade.
I don't think it's going to take that long, Barney, but come on, man. I mean, it worked for them. It can work for us.
Uncle Barney throwing some heat. Y'all have to embrace the suck.
We didn't embrace the suck for 10 years.
Yeah, it worked.
That's what I'm saying. Look at the
Texans. Where the Texans are now? Where were they now? Would they be where they are now if they didn't embrace the suck?
Yeah.
The answer to that is no.
Yeah, Uncle Barney.
We've already shown our chops as NFL general managers by getting the Texans to embrace the suck and then, you know, trading up into the draft. We all always like that. We always are a big fan of trading up to number three. The rest of those NFL teams, a day they would live in infamy for allowing the Texans to do such a thing. Y'all two and Biggie, see how far you can throw Bagwell. I would not be very helpful there. Gary Sheffield never looked comfortable at bat. You and Blankers would do better, no doubt. There you go. Yeah, I think our killer bee duo would do better than the Bagwell Biggio killer bee duo of running the Houston Astros. Joe Espada yesterday in the post game. I better hurry up and say this before the Astro game ends. His post game annoyed me. You know, they just dropped their third game in a row. Yes, they're all competitive games. Yes, they're all tight games. We understand that. Seattle's a good team. Yes, we understand that. But Espada's post game just rubbed me the wrong way. You've lost three in a row to Seattle, like the team that you're looking up in. And his post game press conference, I understand that you're not going to bash anybody individually, but he's sitting there acting like he's coaching the Bad News Bears, and he's giving them these moral victories for coming close against – you're the stinking Houston Astros. You're the best team in the American League for the last 7 years. You're the two-time defending World Series champion Houston Astros in the golden era of Astro – you are the American League West Division. And Joe Espada, after losing for the third game in a row against Seattle, well, it's just baseball. This sort of thing happens in baseball. I like the fight of the guys. They're really playing hard. Oh, the Mariners are such a good team, blah blah blah. He's moral victoring the dominant powerhouse of the American League after they lost their third in a row at Seattle, and I cannot stand it.
Yeah, you know what I didn't like was the fact that all he was doing was, you know, pumping up Verlander too and talking about, look, at a point like that, you should be a pissed off manager that goes, we just lost another one run game. We just were in another battle that we came up short on. I'm ticked off. Yeah, Justin pitched great. Guess what? It wasn't enough to win because we didn't do other things. We're not hitting the baseball right now, pointing out the shortcomings, talking about the fact that your team right now is not doing what is expected of them, and the fact that we've got to be better and do that, and maybe talk about things that you can do so that you have a different outcome the next time. But he just basically was just rolling into every question looking for the positivity he wanted to spew. And I was just like, okay, Joe, come on, man.
Yeah, I just it rubbed me the wrong way. And is it because they're losing right now and 8 games below .500 and trail the division? But probably, like, yeah, that probably factors in. No one's happy right now. But you're the alpha of the division. You're the alpha of the American League. You're the heavyweight. You're the powerhouse. And it sounded like you're bowing down to the Mariners. And it's the same way he bows down to the umpires. It's the same way that he bows down to the second step in the dugout and lets Omar Lopez take the top step. Like, it's just, he doesn't command the room. It goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Like, he doesn't command the room. And I think to be a good coach, good manager, you have to command the room. And Joe Espada just doesn't do that for me.
No, I don't think he does it for anybody. I mean, from the way he doesn't argue and get thrown out, or at least, you know, show fire there, to the post-game interviews, to everything in between, it seems like he's very easily walked upon, and he doesn't basically put his foot down at any time and take a stance and then take a hard stance.
Maybe we'll talk about the Astros winning a ball game when we come back. Also, Willibitch, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get with Willibitch. You just know it's going to be good. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Bull Shirts. Bull Shirts, best in the business at doing the things that you need done, and they're locally owned and operated so that you can get them done the right way the first time, and if they're not, you can get them corrected and done before it's too late. That's what I mean by what I'm talking about when you're doing something with a promotional item. Maybe you're looking to do T-shirts for a family reunion or a gathering. Maybe you're looking to do things for a golf tournament and you need the goodie bags or the lunch bags, or you need gifts, or you need awards, or you need a tent for a tailgate or a golf tournament. They do all that, but they also do T-shirts better than anybody else. And if you need T-shirts for anything from like any kind of event to any kind of business doing, they're the people to call because they do it better than anybody else. They do it locally, so therefore they're going to get them to you on time. If there's something wrong, they're going to fix it, and you don't have to wait for shipping and hope that it gets there when your event is coming up. They take care of all the details so you don't have to, and they give you quality that people are going to remember when they walk away. That's why you go to them. That's why the Astros have gone to them for years, and the Rockets too. Bull-shirts.com gets it all started for you. Let them know when your deadline is. Let them know what you're thinking about doing. They'll give you all the options right there on the website. You can see them all and choose what you need, but rest assured, they're local. They're going to take care of you, and they're going to get it done the right way. I love these guys, and they are the best in the business. Check them out today, bull-shirts.com.
You listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
An investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi Master against a dangerous warrior from his past. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. Catch The Acolyte, streaming on Disney Plus starting June 4th. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776 wins a $100 Visa gift card and 2 seats to the advanced screening of the series Monday, June 3rd at Cinemark in Webster. So 713-780-3776, caller number 3, a couple passes coming your way, and a $100 Visa gift card. 713-780-3776. Blankers had to go pick up the girl, so he's taking off for the final 30 minutes of the show. We'll get to the Willibitch in a moment. 713-780-ESPN. It's always a little bit stressful for the Astros, isn't it? But the Astros do salvage a baseball game in Seattle. They win the final game of the series 4-0. Great job by Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, Spencer Arrighetti was not the favorite in the matchup against Logan Gilbert today. And Spencer Arrighetti was fantastic for the Astros. Astros had lost 3 in a row, trying to avoid the sweep, salvage a game in the series. You have a rookie on the mound going up against Logan Gilbert. You know, that's not fantastic, not really in a spot that you want to be. And Spencer Arrighetti pitched really well for the Stros, goes 6 shutout innings, gives up just 2 hits and strikes out 8. The best game that Spencer Arrighetti has thrown all season long, and he did it when the Astros absolutely had to have it. So it's great to see that from the rookie, especially with the news of Jose Urquidy. Doesn't look great for him. Christian Javier, they're seeking second opinions on Urquidy, second opinions on Christian Javier, which usually means you didn't love the first opinion. But Arrighetti's been pretty good as of late, you look at his last five games before today. Against Cleveland, 2 runs, 5 2/3. At New York, that's the one he got hit pretty good. 5 runs in 5 innings. 2 runs in 5 innings against Oakland. 4 runs in 6 1/3 against Milwaukee. I think all that damage came in the 7th inning when the Astros were trying to milk another inning out of him. 3 runs in 5 innings against Oakland. And then today. Today he had the game of his career, his young career, against Seattle. 6 shutout innings, gives up just 2 hits, strikes out 8. He was fantastic. Alex Bregman hits a home run and a triple. Bregman had a couple of extra base hits. It's funny how Alex Bregman, when he's not hitting cleanup, is a different hitter for the Houston Astros. And Bregman, a couple of hits today, the 2-run homer in the 4th, tripled later, and the Astros salvage a game in this 4-game series. And they get it back to 5.5. You know, it wasn't the best road trip. You go 3-4, Brian, 3-4 in 7 games. Not the best. I said bare minimum 4-3, but you salvage 1, 5.5 back instead of 7.5. It could have been worse.
I mean, it could have been worse, but the Astros have put themselves in a spot with the early bad starts where, I don't know, I think it's okay to nitpick, you know, when only going 3-4 instead of 4-3. They put themselves in a spot where they have to perform a little bit better than what we would normally ask for on a road trip. Because you're right, on a normal 7-game road trip, it's a road trip. You go 3-4, you'll take that. But they're in a spot where they got to do better than that right now. So, especially in the fashion that they lost, especially that they're giving, you know, Jose Abreu more chances starting 3 of the 4 games against Seattle, I'm still out on their odds to make the playoffs right now.
He had a knock, Jose Abreu, and
came up lame.
Came up lame, rounding first base. Now that 95 feet that he traveled.
All the energy it took to hit the ball took it completely out of his quads or hamstrings or whatever it was that pulled on him.
It's a difficult path, that 95 feet after you get a little bit of a base knock for Jose Abreu. But good for them to avoid the sweep, I suppose, for the Stros. 713-780-ESPN. Texter saying that Joe Espada is the definition of persona non grata. He's not popular or accepted by his team. I don't think this team is behind Joe. I know it's early, but maybe the manager of the Astros is too big for this man. I think it's a fair take. Jury's out. They're not going to fire him anytime soon. 3283, I know it's a small sample size, but I'm done with Espada. He's given Steven Silas vibes. Hey, I'm with you. He doesn't command the room. I don't think a whole lot of people – he didn't demand the respect. He doesn't command the respect. Hopefully I'm wrong on that. And, you know, the Astros are good and blah, 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 blah. And he has a long tenure as the manager of the Stros.
I mean, just look at the other two coaches of the main big three sports here in Houston with Ime Udoka and with D'Amico Ryans. There's just, you can't look at the three of them and not look at Joe Espada and goes like, okay, one of these things is not like the other. Like those guys, like you laid out yesterday, when those guys in Udoka and D'Amico, when they walk into a room, they instantly command, you know, that room. Everyone gravitates them. Everyone wants to, you know, run through the verbiage. A brick wall for them. I don't think you could say that about Spot. It seems like he gets walked all over. I mean, this is something kind of trivial, but could you imagine the Spot having a moment like Udoka had with LeBron James calling a punk, you know, a punk AB or whatever he called it? Like, Joe Spot is not, he doesn't have that sort of fight or dog in him.
No.
He just doesn't have it. Like, I can see maybe his style of managing may be working for a younger team, but for a veteran team that needs someone to push them and lead them, he's not it.
He could have used like the 15 Astros, where like Hinch took over
Hinch
a young team and
them.
He grew
right.
up with them. Like Espada, young, you know, first year manager grows up with a young team. I think there is something to be said for that. This team probably could have used a veteran manager. Now, what's the difference in record? Like 25-32 now, maybe 27-30. Like I don't think it is that impactful with the win-loss record, as much as we make it seem, while also agreeing that, you know, I probably would have hired a veteran manager, and I think the front office is a bigger issue than the managerial chair. All right, let's get to our Willibits.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying, or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Let's play dad joke duds.
What did he say? Or she say?
See, dad joke duds.
I knew it wasn't going to be a Blakers rant.
No, he'd have to be here for that.
I tried the, just a continuation real quick of a previous Will a Bit. I tried the root beer float Bluebell.
Oh, did you like it?
Unreal's good.
Really?
10 out of 10.
Did you, I can't remember, did you try or did you like the Dr. Pepper?
I tried float? It. I didn't love it.
Okay.
Yeah, that
okay.
was probably, I would give the Dr. Pepper root beer float Bluebell 5.7. I'll give the root beer float 9.6.
Really?
9.6.
Okay.
Solid
9.6.
I haven't
tried it yet, but I definitely will. Did you follow up on your wanting to try the banana pudding?
I did. I actually bought them together because I'm a fatty. I liked it. I didn't love it, the banana pudding Bluebell.
Okay.
I would give that one a 7.2. I think I just like the I'm being
maybe
conditioned to like banana pudding.
Maybe it was because you like the A&W so
much. No, I had the banana pudding like 2 days before I had the A&W root beer. Actually, like 3 or 4 days. No, I just like banana pudding more. It was good. Don't get me wrong. I'll finish the gallon. But it's not as good as banana pudding for me.
You mean as A&W? It's not as good
no,
as A&W?
No, I'm saying the real banana pudding.
Oh, okay.
Like the
no,
ice
yeah,
cream,
no,
it's
I
like
would...
a knockoff. So
no,
like,
I
the
wouldn't...
fact that it's a knockoff, it makes me like disappointed that I'm not getting the real thing.
But you wouldn't say the same thing about the root beer float? That's not a real root beer float.
I think it's better than a root beer float, though.
Oh.
Because you don't, like, it's just perfect consistency. You don't have to worry about a liquid and a solid whatever, like whatever ice cream is. And then, like, kind of having this weird, like, timing of the elements with, like, it getting soft, and then the ice cream has to melt, and then, like, you, like a Coke float or root beer float,
it's
you're like, should I eat
time.
It with a spoon?
Yeah.
Should I drink it with a straw?
Yeah.
Like, it's this weird kind of balance and inconsistency. I think that whenever you put them all together as an ice cream, it's this perfect marriage.
Hmm. Yeah, perfect. I really got to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but I really got to try it.
Very, very good. All right, what's, you said... Dad
joke duds. I don't think we've done this one.
I wish that Blankers was here for this.
I know, but I wanted something fun to kind of close out our day because obviously it's been a lot of sad or mad about the Houston Astros. My idea with this was basically to read you these terrible dad jokes until either you actually laughed at one or you got so mad that you want to end the segment. So we'll see what happens first here. But all right, first joke, Jeremy. Imagine if you walked into a bar and there was a long line of people waiting to take a swing at you.
Okay.
No, that's the punchline.
That's that's a 2-1. That's bad.
My wife left me because of my obsession with pasta. I'm feeling cannellonia right now.
I can't do these.
You can't. So a 2? We tapping out at 2?
I'll give that one a 1-2.
All right, let's see if I can get one more out of you. I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know.
I don't get that one.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh.
So bad he didn't even get it.
I didn't get it. That was over my head. I'm not smart enough to get that awful joke.
All right. How do flat earthers travel?
I don't know. How do they travel?
On a plane.
Plane.
Plane. P-L-A-I-N
plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
I need some rim shot. I think I might actually have a rim shot.
Have you ever took a deep dive on the flat earth thing?
I've read some of the posts people have made. I wouldn't call it a deep dive, but I was interested to see the point they were trying to make, but it made me too angry and I stopped reading.
See, I like conspiracies. Like, I rarely believe them, but I do like good argument. So I like, and I think of myself as open-minded. So I like to hear opposing views or just different people's views. So I've taken a deep dive. They do present some compelling cases. They do like the flight patterns. It's interesting. Now, I don't believe it, and I know it's been, like, debunked, but it is. I do enjoy their arguments at times.
Sure. I enjoy someone making a passionate argument and trying to make the case, but
yeah.
We can agree on some things, like, you know, the sky isn't green and the earth is round.
Sure. No, yeah. I don't believe it at all, but I do like some good old conspiracies. It could be whatever. It could be anything. I love me some good conspiracies.
Yeah. You want a couple more of these,
let's go one more.
All right. What's blue and not very heavy?
What?
Light blue.
That one's not bad. I'll give that one a 4-1.
Okay, all right.
Let's end on a good note, though.
Yeah, all right, let's end there on a good note.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Virginia says, rarely believe. Which ones do you believe? Which conspiracies do I believe? Well, I believe my own conspiracies, like the Framber Valdez didn't have an issue with his throwing elbow. I think
I agree
he banged
with that
his
one.
Elbow. That's one of the conspiracies I have.
I agree with most of the JFK stuff.
Which part?
That it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, really? I don't believe that. We drove by that building not that long ago. Have you ever read up on Sirhan Sirhan and RFK?
I have not, no.
That one's pretty interesting. I would recommend – I listened to a podcast on that one. They think that there's a theory – I don't know if I believe it. There's a theory out there, though, that Sirhan was he was hypnotized, that his mind was manipulated, and that's what and that's when he assassinated RFK. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's pretty interesting.
I haven't heard
podcast.
That theory. That is something I'd read, though. That sounds interesting.
King of Twitch says RBIs are RBI conspiracy. That's not a conspiracy. That's a fact. It's RBIs. MLA, AP.
I was going to jump in when you said you're open-minded, but I didn't figure it was worth picking the fight.
I am open-minded. I listen to other people's arguments, even if how bad like their opinions are. My current theory on Altuve is that he's playing with a slight injury.
Yeah, his recent batting certainly suggests that. That bat, I think it was his third at bat today where he went to a knee on it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to start writing these down so I can remember. I mean, I have
put them down at the bottom of the Google Doc.
I have a sports conspiracy like once a week, probably more than that.
We should make it a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm going to start writing them down a little bit more so I can remember them. I'm struggling on the spot. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bolt's coming through.
Give me all you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are you nominated for car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 6171 in Abreu's defense. He's not used to running the bases. Those 95 feet are a lot of distance for him.
Hasn't had a lot of practice this year.
And let's be very clear. The extra 5 feet, yes, I know it's 90 feet from home to first, is the turning of the bag. I think it's where he got hurt, too. He had to slow down. 2652, the root beer float ice cream with chocolate syrup.
I don't know
if that mixes.
No, it doesn't seem like it would need chocolate.
I don't love that pairing. I'm also very unpopular whenever I say I don't love chocolate.
I don't either. I like chocolate when it's with things, not on its own, if that makes sense. Like, I like a good chocolate-covered pretzel or cashew or something like that, but I don't just eat chocolate on its own.
And it's usually for me, very light chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of unpopular for a bunch of people. I guess we're making some people mad. 713-780-ESPN, car wrecks of the day. How about this one? This text a car wreck of the day. Bluebell isn't even ice cream anymore. Look at the ingredients.
Oh,
there's
on.
A theory for you. Although, I mean, it is good to eat whole foods. Oso nominates me for the car wreck of the day for my spelling of plane. The airplane, P-L-A-N-E.
What'd you say?
I said P-L-A-I-N. Like, it's very bland. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Planes. Yeah.
Oso, my bad. That's well done of you. No one else picked up on it other than you,
Yeah,
Oso.
I missed it.
You're a sharp cat. Actually, you're a sharp bear. Yeah, it's my bad. It's bad spelling. I talk for a living. I don't spell for a living. This guy's nominating Altuve for swinging at every first pitch. He's done his entire career.
Yeah, whenever, that's what he's doing when he's winning batting titles, too. It's not the approach to me.
I mean, whenever you're reeling, you become even more aggressive sometimes. I think Altuve needs a day. I think Altuve needs
that.
A day tomorrow. Like, you're traveling today. You play tomorrow. Don't play him tomorrow. Let Mauricio Dubon play second base tomorrow. Give him a day off. Give him a middle break. All right, what are you nominating for a car wreck of the day?
A couple nominations, and one of these came up earlier in the show, but the Mets for the whole situation with the DFA and the not having the translator there while everything was going on. And then I don't know if you saw this, but Stephen A. Smith is calling out his own network, ESPN, after Bronny James apparently seemingly overnight rose from 98th on their draft prospect list to 54th. One spot next to where the Lakers are picking at 55. So in his mind, they're doing this so the Lakers, if they take Bronny at 55, can justify by saying, hey, look, he was 54 in the draft board. You can't blame us. That's where the sort of prospect is. Nothing Bronny James did over the last 2 weeks would merit him jumping from 98 to 54 on the prospect draft list.
That is a conspiracy theory that I'm buying.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm buying that because I've been two things when it comes to Bronny James in the NBA. I've been one, he and LeBron are going to force this power play
to
where they're going to be on the same team. No, it's going to happen, and you're seeing it happen. You see Bronny rejected team visits with every team but
like,
the Lakers.
Like two or three, right?
Like the dude's not an NBA player, and he's rejecting visits from every NBA team except for the LA Lakers.
I thought he also took one with the Suns. It was like a very, very short list.
Well, there's a theory.
Yeah.
LeBron to Phoenix with Durant and Bronny.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
The Suns said, yeah, the Suns owner said their window's open. That would be one way to go about it.
Jim Crane says that all the time. I guess the window is open for the Astros. I want to nominate Yiner Diaz's defense. Yiner Diaz's defense is atrocious. It's bad. Worst receiving catcher the Astros have had since Evan Gattis. Victor Caratini is their best catcher right now, both offensively and defensively.
I didn't realize it had gotten this bad. I don't know. Do you know off the top of your head, did he rank this low last year as well?
No, it wasn't awful last year. He's got a strong arm, right, but his pop time is down.
Right. Yeah, he was throwing out more batters last year than Maldi. He was, you know, giving up fewer pass balls than Maldi. A lot of things from the defensive side, he was doing better than Maldi, and that for a lot of last season was listed as one of Yiner's one of the reasons why Yiner should be playing over Maldi, other than just his bat. But it's interesting to see how far it's dropped off now that he's the full time starter.
Savant's defensive metrics—they're not everything. Like, they don't list all of the stuff, but he was pretty high on their defensive metric stuff, and he was slightly above average on fielding run value. So he was respected defensively. He was a bad framer last year, but he's gotten worse. He's even worse this year. He's in the 1 percentile. His fielding run value is -3, 10th percentile this year. He's a bad receiver. He's a bad receiver.
I mean, that ultimately points to, and you see this happen with a lot of first basemen that are good with the bat, and obviously he struggled with this bat, but you look at, you know, Joe Mauer or Buster Posey, a lot of these guys end up moving to first, and Astros obviously have a bit of an opening at first. I mean, I doubt they make the move this year, but I wonder if that'd be something they would explore going into next season.
He's going to have to hit a little bit.
Yeah, no, he would. Yeah, if he doesn't hit better than he's doing right now, then it doesn't matter.
If he
hits and he's a bad catcher, moving to first.
I mean, if Caratini's bat's going to play, I don't mind forcing that decision immediately. Now, there might be some better options.
I don't either. I just don't think the Astros will.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather see Dubon over there than Yiner currently.
Or just like a platoon.
Yiner's a better offensive player than Yiner right now. More against lefties. Because Singleton's probably my guy against righties.
Yeah.
So it'd be more of a platoon against left-handed pitchers. I'd rather have Dubon in the box right now more than Yiner. I would have never thought I would have said that this year.
No. No, you're not wrong, though.
Caratini. Same thing. I'd rather see Caratini in the box. So would Joe Espada, because he pinch hit for Yiner Diaz last night. Car wreck of the day, Josh from Seabrook, my sanity. Every time I see the Astros flailing about. Albert Einstein once said that doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity, which explains Jeff Bagwell. Astros won. Can we be happy for a day? One day. Can we be happy for the Houston Astros?
They still lost 3 out of 4 to the Mariners in the biggest series of the season so far.
But they're all close games. I'm going to act like Joe Espada last night in the postgame. They're all close games. Seattle's good. The leader of the division.
Moral victory on the way out?
We're playing hard.
Oh, God.
I like the way that we're fighting whenever it's baseball is being baseball. That's what managers go to. It's baseball. Why is your team stuck right now? It's baseball.
Wish we could explain that to everything in life.
I know.
job reviews at your job.
Make dinner for the kids.
Yeah,
why is this taste bad?
It's cooking.
It's just cooking, you know.
You throw things in a pot, sometimes it comes out.
It's cooking. You get into a wreck, you slam into somebody, you rear end them.
It's driving.
It happens. I like the way that they fought through as driving happened. All right. What's going to win? What's winning today?
Mets?
Yeah, let's give it to the Mets. Congratulations, New York Mets. They need to win something. Soccer Matters coming up at 6. Glenn Davis and then Hall of Fame at 7. Space Cowboys over on 92.5 at 9.05. Keep it here for Brian Blankers. I'm Brandon. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.